You are Locked On Raptors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, how's it going? Welcome to episode number 428 of Locked On Raptors for Monday, December 3rd. I am your host, Sean Woodley of RaptorsHQ.com. You can find me on Twitter, as always, at WoodleySean. Find the show at Locked On Raptors. We can find links to every single episode. And of course, make sure you're checking out the Locked On Podcast Network, team-focused shows for all 30 NBA teams. We got Locked On Fantasy Basketball. We got Locked On Fantasy Football times two. We've got Locked On NBA, Locked On NFL, daily national shows with great national guests as well. It's tons of stuff, a great time for the network right now. If you find a show that you like on the network that you want to support, please find it separately on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, all the places you get your podcasts. Leave a rating on the platforms that allow you to do so, and it is very much appreciated. It's the best way to support all of the shows and help keep us going, helps make us more visible, helps boost our egos, all that good stuff. So thank you very much in advance for taking the small amount of time it requires to do that. I will be forever indebted to you if you decide to take that leap. All right, on today's show, this is actually going to be a shorter show than I hoped because my voice is about to die. I was spent all last week hosting morning radio and then had a billion podcasts to do and then also had like McMaster basketball PA announcing job. And by the end of the week, my voice was frayed and toast and I was lacking sleep, so I'm kind of sick as well. And it's not a good concoction for the voice right now, so I'm going to kind of cut this one short. I was going to do a little recap of the Cavs game, but honestly, the Raptors beat the Cavs because the Cavs are bad and Kawhi Leonard's very good. And it's one of those games where, yeah, maybe the Raptors had their ugliest win of the season. Ultimately, it doesn't... I kind of find solace in the fact that the Raptors, when they play poorly, can still win by 11. Let me just put it, maybe it's weird, maybe that's like an indication of my devil-may-care attitude towards trying hard. I don't know, but the fact that the Raptors can win by 11 against Cleveland, yes, Cleveland was on the second end of the back-to-back, and Cleveland is very bad, but the fact that the Raptors could pull that win out without playing very well, without ever really putting the dagger into the hearts of the Cavs, and still just never really being threatened, that kind of tells me that the Raptors are doing just fine. Kyle Lowry obviously didn't play. Without him, it's a little bit more of a difficult road, obviously. Ultimately, you can be concerned about the bench or the rotations, whatever you want, but they're just fine. And I'm sorry to echo that. I would go deeper into it, but my voice is about to collapse into the sea. So, not a bad game at all. It's fine. It's all good. And we will move on to more interesting things this week. Obviously, they have the Denver Nuggets on Monday night, and that's what this podcast is about. Myself and Adam Mares, who is the host of Locked On Nuggets, a fantastic host on the network, by the way, and does a lot of great stuff. He was on back-to-back last week with Dave Dufour and David Thorpe in a very, very smart podcast, if you want to check that one out. Adam's great, and he came on and we chatted. We were supposed to go like 10 minutes. Eventually, we went like 20 minutes because... what the hell? Why not? Adam's very good at talking. I am a windbag, so we ended up extending it out a little bit longer. Just to tee up tonight's game, talk about where the Nuggets are at, just sort of how they've progressed this season, also how the Raptors have progressed this season. It's a good little crossover episode, so I hope you enjoyed that. And that's going to be it for today's show. I'm not going to do any other things on top of it. It's about 20 minutes, so I know it's a shorter podcast. I apologize for that. We'll get back to longer episodes tomorrow, or whenever my voice decides to stop hurting me, because this is agony right now. All right, let's wrap things up there. Let me just remind you to check out the Locked On Podcast Network social feeds on Twitter and Instagram, at Locked On NBA Net and at Locked On NFL Net. On Twitter, it's great. It's a great feed where all of the hosts from the network are condensed into one. All of their basketball or football-related tweets are retweeted into this one account, and you don't have to go around and follow all of the different hosts. You don't have to follow me and get my, you know, stupid tweets about, I don't know, things that aren't basketball. If that's not what you're interested in, you can just follow this account. You'll get all the basketball tweets from all the hosts, all the football tweets from all the football hosts, and it's a great resource during games, during breaking news stuff. It's fantastic. And also on Instagram, if you follow those accounts, they are posting little snippets of each podcast, all the big stories from around the league, and you can go click on the link in the bio and listen to the full podcast, or just get the little condensed takery that comes in the form of that little snippet of video. Locked On NFL Net and Locked On NBA Net on Twitter and Instagram. Check them out. All right, let's get to now the conversation with myself and Adam Mares. He's going to intro it, and then we'll let it ride. It's a good chat, and the Raptors play the Nuggets on Saturday or Monday night. Monday night? Yeah, Monday night. And it's going to be a fun game. The Nuggets are really good. They're number 3 right now in net rating behind the Raptors and the Bucks. And It should be a really fun game. I'm actually kind of nervous about this one for the Raptors. Got to say, the Nuggets kind of always have the Raptors' number, and it's kind of a matchup where there are kind of things, as we talk about, myself and Adam, there are things that go both ways to kind of, you know, hint an advantage for both the Raptors or the Nuggets in this one. We'll see how it goes. I'm not, like, holding my breath for a Raptors victory or anything like that, but we will obviously revisit it tomorrow, and we'll chat about it on Tuesday's podcast. So enjoy the game. Enjoy the conversation here with myself and Adam Mares, and we will talk to you next time on Locked on Raptors. I'm going to go have some tea.
All right, now for the crossover portion of the show, I am joined by Sean Woodley of Locked on Raptors, Raptors HQ. Sean, how's it going?
I'm pretty good, man. It's an exciting time. Nuggets, Raptors, a battle of the second and third best teams by net rating in the NBA. Not sure I would have like expected that to be the case looking at this game on the schedule, but hey, here we are.
Yeah, I think Toronto I was pretty high on coming into the year. I mean, were you? This team is... Kawhi Leonard's really, really good.
Yeah, I was high on them. Throughout the preseason, I started with, a pretty mild prediction of, 55 wins. And by the end of the preseason, I was like, what am I doing? They're going to win 60 games. won 59 last year and added Danny Green and Kawhi Leonard. And I love DeMar DeRozan, but, Kawhi's just so much better. And it's... Yeah, they're as good and better than I thought they were going to be. And even the thing is about the Raptors, too, that's kind of weird, is that they're almost... There are a lot of glaring issues that have been cropping up in most games, yet it doesn't seem to matter. They played the Cavs on Saturday and, kind of just bumbled their way through the game and ended up winning by 11 anyway, despite only Kawhi playing well. So, they're not even being burned for the things they're doing poorly right now. It's a ridiculous team. I can't even... really, fathom, 5-6 years ago, if you told me a Raptors team was going to be this good, I would have said you're insane, and it's still, they've been good for 5 years, but this is just a new, different level of good that we haven't even seen over the last 5 years here, so yeah, it's pretty wild. But the Nuggets, too, they're just as good and exciting, and sort of, I guess, even in a more unexpected way.
Yeah, they're good and doing great, but they're also, two games out of the 7 seed in the West, because the West is so ridiculous, so yeah. It's one of those things where... I think Nuggets fans are all excited and riding the highs and lows, but we all know a two-game winning losing streak knocks them down several pegs, so that part of it sucks. But I did a bad thing the other day I want to ask you about. Yeah. When I was watching that awesome Warriors-Raptors game, I just happened to get on Twitter and search for DeMar just because Kawhi was playing so incredibly well. Kawhi's had some big moments. But that was it's rare to see Kawhi in a duel, a one-on-one duel. And there were moments there where it felt like a duel between him and KD. And I searched DeMar, and there were just so many comments from Raptors fans saying, oh, I love DeMar. That's my dude. But, man, this guy Kawhi.
That was I think you're quoting my tweet. That was me.
Well, there you go.
Yeah,
it was wild. So, I mean, is it kind of a weird feeling for Raptors fans that DeMar was your guy?
Yeah.
But Kawhi's just way better.
Yeah, I mean, he still remains, our guy, too, right? DeMar is amazing, and he will never stop being loved by the city. And yes, the departure is a little bit weird, and, I think him and Masai Ujiri probably aren't going for dinner anytime soon, but there doesn't seem to be any sort of friction between him and the fan base, which is all that I really care about. It was an icky trade, obviously, for a bunch of different reasons. It was a little bit ghoulish, but also it was done in the interest of becoming much, much better. And maybe Kawhi is a little bit harder to root for at times than DeMar, but then he does that against Kevin Durant, and it's okay, I can get on board. I'm on board with this. This is fun. This is really good. And yeah, just DeMar was never going to do something like that. He just wasn't capable of bringing himself to that level. Kawhi is, and damn it, man, it's really, really fun to watch.
So I'm looking at the schedule here for Raptors and just kind of going through the wins and losses. They lost at Milwaukee. Kawhi wasn't playing. Giannis wasn't playing. That game almost doesn't count.
Yeah.
I mean, it does, but it doesn't. And then they lost 3 games in a row between November 12th and November 16th. What happened in that stretch? It was a while ago, so this is sort of this is not recent trends or anything, but I'm just trying to figure out what happened in that little stretch there.
So they lost to the Pelicans, which was the first of those 3 losses. And that game was mostly Drew Holiday playing out of his gourd. He had an incredible game. He shut down Kyle Lowry. That was one of Kyle's worst games of the season, even to this point. And Anthony Davis had a really nice game, too. And it was just, they couldn't really... the shot making by the Pelicans was ridiculous. The Raptors actually in that game, it's the only time this season they've busted out their, like, I guess sort of death lineup foil, where they play Pascal Siakam at center with OG Anunoby, Kawhi, Danny Green, and Kyle Lowry. They busted that out for a few minutes at the end of that Pelicans game to try to get something going, and it looked like it was going to work, and the Pelicans offense could get nothing, but three or four straight possessions, it was either Drew Holiday or Etuan Moore bailing them out with like a 30-foot three in someone's eye at the buzzer. And it's like, well, what are you supposed to do? So they lost a really good shot making there. The next game was Detroit, and that was honestly just like Dwayne Casey bad juju, I think. Like that loss was always happening. Just like the way that all happened too.
You're right. Yeah.
The way that all happened too, it was like, okay, yeah, they're losing this game too. And it wasn't exactly shocking. It came down to the end. Kawhi kicked it out, and then Jose Calderon, of all people, set up the winning shot. But I think Reggie Bullock now, if I recall, it was him. So there was a lot of like ex-Raptor, you know, stuff going through the air at the arena that night. And then the Friday game was against the Celtics. They went to OT. Kyrie Irving had 41. You know, they were all pretty explainable losses, I think. None of them were too glaring or concerning. And they kind of just got back on the roll. And now they've won, I think, 8 straight, which is they're already this season, they have win streaks of 6, 6, and 8. So they are just like, they're steamrolling teams. It's hard to get, they're really hard to talk about because there's not that much to nitpick. And there are some things you can get upset about, right? Like the bench has been pretty bad. It's been, you know, tricky to sort of fit all these pieces together. They've had some injuries as well that's kind of led to a lack of continuity with the bench. And the bench guys aren't really being used correctly at this point by Nick Nurse, and maybe that's something that'll be adjusted. He seems like he's kind of trying some new things in terms of staggering Kawhi and Kyle in a way he hasn't in the past. But it's a work in progress there. But even through all that stuff, they're still 20-4, so it's like, how mad can you really get about that stuff? With the Nuggets, my biggest question with them...
I want to go here because even more recently, just want to look at this. The Toronto Raptors, I don't know if Nuggets fans realize this, they have the second best offensive rating in the NBA right now, but only behind the Milwaukee Bucks, and the second best overall net rating. No surprise they have the best record there. But you look at their last couple games, they just beat Cleveland, which is like a terrible team, and you can't take anything from that. But you go before that, Golden State, they score 131. Memphis, they score 122. Miami, 125. Washington, 125. Atlanta, 124. So you're talking about 5 straight games of 120 or more points that they have scored. That's the type of team Denver's going up against. I think people think of Toronto as maybe a little bit more of a balanced, slow, grind-em-out team, but Denver's going to have to score like 120 to win this game.
Yeah, that's the thing, is the Raptors kind of project themselves as more of a sort of grinded out type of team, like you said, but they're like middle of the road in pace. They're like 14th right now. It's not like they're blowing teams away, but they're not like slowing it down entirely. I just think it's their defense that kind of gives off. It's like any sort of team that has like a really stout defense, I think, kind of gives off that sort of aura of being more of a grimy team, right? But the Raptors just happen to turn their really good defense into insanely easy transition buckets, and that leads to those crazy high scores. Like they'll have these like swaths of games for like 5 or 6 minutes where their defense will just be oppressive, and they'll turn that into a 12-1 run or something like that.
Yeah.
They did that against the Celtics early in the season. They did that against the Sixers as well. Close games all the way, and then you know they kind of lock in, and it's like, oh, here's 5 turnovers in a row, and the Raptors are up by 10, and the game's over. So that's kind of what they do, and they'll strike pretty quickly to kind of put those points on the board.
So for Denver's sake, they are now on a 5-game winning streak. They started 9-1. They went into a major like funk, I would say, where they just were playing really weird. There was some weird energy. They got out of that even before the winning streak snapped. I think they started to get back in the groove. But now they have won 5 straight, and there have been some great wins in there. At Minnesota, shortly after the trade, I think it was the first loss for Minnesota since the big trade. So it was sort of the momentum killer for that one. Orlando, which turned out to be murdered Orlando, who turned out to be a pretty decent team. At Oklahoma City, they beat the Lakers at home in blowout fashion, 32-point butt whooping. And then they just won at Portland, where in a game they were up 20 points, kind of blew it in, you know, down the stretch to make it a close game. But that was another one where Denver looked, at least for large portions of the game, Denver looked really, really impressive. So I think this is a true clash of the Titans, two teams that are sort of at the top of their game meeting. Obviously, Denver is going – the weird thing about the schedule for Denver, they played in Denver, then they flew to Portland, and now they're flying to Toronto. That's about the middle of the country – the far west coast and now the far east, northeast.
That sounds not
so it's
awesome.
A little bit of a weird schedule.
Yeah,
it's It's one of those things where the schedule every now and then throws you these weird ones where you go, how did they schedule Portland, Toronto back to, you know, consecutive games? But so Denver, I think, looking really, really good coming into this game.
Yeah. Okay, so my question with Denver, and this is maybe just like my untrained eye. I haven't watched the Nuggets every single night like you. I'll tune in because, I mean, they have my boy, our local son, Jamal Murray, and they're a very exciting team, obviously, but I'm not watching them as in-depth. Why are they so good at defense? They're right now the number three defense in the league. And, like, you look at the roster, and it's like, yeah, okay, maybe Nikola Jokic's, like, defensive deficiencies have kind of always been overstated, and, like, maybe, like, Gary Harris and Paul Millsap are just that good, but it's like, I don't know, like, Jamal Murray, I love him with all my heart. I don't really sort of view him as an excellent defender. They got Juancho Hernan Gomez playing at, like, the three at sometimes. Like, what's their secret to playing good defense? Because it does not make sense to me.
I think there's a couple of things at play here. The first and most important thing is that this team just cares on defense.
Right.
And it's weird watching them. They're the I think, the second youngest team in the NBA right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think they had to learn through heartbreak that, no, actually, you have to give defensive effort all the time or else you're going to get teams sneaking up on you and losing games you shouldn't. So their effort level, the bench, the starters, both just they're just so much more engaged in the game. The second part of this is, you mentioned it already, I am sort of known around a certain type of basketball Twitter sphere as being the guy that had been, you know, screaming that Nikola Jokic does not suck on defense, as was the norm, right? Everybody had those low light clips, and Denver was a bad defensive team as a whole, so people looked at him and said, "Okay, it's his fault. He's the slow, fat white dude." and you know, he has certain deficiencies, no doubt, but I've always thought he was actually a very, very smart defender.
Mm-hmm.
And people are seeing that now. They're using him more aggressively. He's being more impactful, in part because he's trying harder, but the skill, in my opinion, was always there. But outside of the effort, the number one reason is because Paul Millsap has a Draymond Green-like effect on the defense.
Mm-hmm.
That guy is incredible to watch. And, you know, he's an under-the-radar star because he's been in Utah and Atlanta, not exactly huge markets. Now in Denver, same thing, overlooked markets. But that guy is incredible in his ability to cover for everybody's mistakes on that end of the floor. He just anticipates where the ball is going, and he beats everybody to the spot no matter – you know, he's like one of the best help side guys in all of the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And I think his mentality has rubbed off on the team. But when he is on the court, he just elevates that defense so much.
I'm extremely jazzed to watch the Paul Millsap-Pascal Siakam matchup. It's kind of fascinating for Raptors fans because for like 3 or 4 years there, all Raptors fans wanted to do was trade for Paul Millsap. It's like, when are they getting Millsap? When's it going to happen? Is it this year? Is it next year?
He seems like a Raptor.
Yeah, but that ended up sort of falling away when they got Serge Ibaka. But, you know, ultimately, now Ibaka's playing center, and he's playing better than he has in, like, many, many years at this point. And Pascal Siakam has emerged as the four. Maybe that doesn't happen if they have Paul Millsap on the team. It's kind of fascinating. And I wonder if Paul Millsap is, like, the first guy in the entire league who's able to stop Pascal Siakam's spin move. It has not happened yet. I have not seen someone be able to guard it. If there's going to be someone to do it, it might be Paul Millsap.
You know, I think Paul Millsap as an on-ball defender is really good, but what makes him special is that help, like I mentioned, that help side, that backside rotation and just anticipating what's happening. So, you know, Siakam, I love Siakam. He's one of my last year he was one of my favorites. He was a guy I was kind of screaming about. In fact, Denver has a player named Jared Vanderbilt who came out of Kentucky, was one of the top recruits going into college but broke his foot and fell into the second round. I compared him to Siakam coming into this year. I think those guys have the same body type. They're both they have like almost identical skill sets. Siakam obviously has developed. So I am a huge Siakam stan. You could say, like, I think I was early in an early adopter of him being a great player, and then it's great to see him break out. But I don't know that will be an interesting matchup, especially if Siakam has another career high.
Yeah.
But I think that – I don't know that will necessarily be the story of the game.
What do you think will be?
I think Kyle Lowry probably has – and Jamal Murray. I think Denver – you know, defensively, Denver has to get some stops. And the one thing, as good as their defense has been, I think their biggest weakness now defensively is dribble penetration.
Right.
And when they go against guards that just are quick off the bounce with the ball in their hand – Denver just doesn't have anybody. Even Gary Harris, who's a very good defender, he struggles with that in open space. And Jamal Murray, you mentioned, didn't think of him as a great defender. You can go ahead and say it. He's not. He's a bad defender at this point. he's only 21, and point guards have to learn more than anybody else. So I cut him a lot of slack there. But Kyle Lowry is a guy that I think could go off in this game in a way that Denver could not recover from. So for me, it would be the point guard position and that dribble penetration. And then the second thing will be, can Denver just outscore them? Because I don't think Denver's going to hold Toronto to 100 points or under 105. I think they're going to hold them at best to like 110, 115. Mm-hmm. And that means Denver's going to have to make a lot of shots.
Yeah, that's fair. If I have a matchup that I'm kind of zoning in on, it's whoever the Raptors start at center against Jokic, because this is one of those ones, like the Raptors all season long have flip-flopped back and forth between Serge Ibaka and Jonas Valanciunas. Ibaka started most games just because most teams in the league have a center that calls for Ibaka to start as opposed to Jonas at this point. But This is one of those kind of in-between wishy-washy ones that I'm not really sure who they're going to go with or who they should go with even, because like Jokic, you know, he'll hang around near the elbows, he'll shoot threes, like he'll kind of roam all over the court just doing his Jokic thing. And that's, in theory, something that Serge Ibaka is more cut out to do. But because Jokic is such a good rebounder and just he's such a load, I wonder if maybe Valanciunas gets in there and that could lead to some other troubles with like spacing it out.
How is Toronto rebounding? Where do they rank? I'm pulling it up right now. They're 12th, so yeah, they're okay. Denver's first.
Yeah.
That's a big strength for Denver, so I could see that becoming a concern.
Yeah, anecdotally, like if they feel a lot worse than 12th, then they're 26 in defensive rebounding percentage. So yeah, that makes a lot more sense to me. They're very good on the offensive glass.
Oh, wow.
Not awesome,
yeah, look
defensively.
At that. Hmm.
And yeah, it's just, they go small a lot. And the thing about their defense is it's so good. I believe they have like the first or second best effective field goal percentage allowed in the entire league. So like, they're not getting burned by a lot of those extra possessions, but it's not awesome, especially against a team like the Nuggets that's as good on offense as they are and have enough guys that can finish and make you pay for those mistakes. So I'm not like entirely confident about this matchup for the Raptors. I gotta say, like I've kind of just been in like the mode where I'm like picking the Raptors to win every game at this point, but this one has me a little bit hung up, both because like when you say that the Nuggets play very hard, the Raptors, if there's something they don't do all the time, it's play very hard. They kind of rest on their laurels of being awesome, and they, you know, kind of pull out wins out of their butts sometimes without actually trying for more than 10 minutes a game. That feels like it might not fly against the Nuggets. And also just like the matchup stuff, Jokic is a load, and I wonder if he's going to be a little bit too much, kind of a bit too in between the Ibaka-Valanciunas sort of spectrum for that to really work for the Raptors. So I'm like not super confident the Raptors are going to take this one.
Well, Nick Nurse is a lot smarter than I am, and so I know he doesn't need my advice. But if I were giving it, I think Ibaka is actually probably the more difficult matchup for a guy like Nikola Jokic, mm-hmm. just because he can create space that, you know, Jokic, the more he has to like close out on shooters and pick and pops and things like that is where he struggles. So that's where I would go. He's actually really good at defending the post. I think he can. I think the pluses would outweigh the negatives, especially if for whatever reason Toronto thought, oh, let's post big Val up and try to draw fouls or whatever. I don't think that would work.
They don't really do that much anymore anyway either. Like they've kind of totally made him a dive man as opposed to as a post up guy, but. Yeah, that's a good point.
That's a positive. That's a real big positive.
Yeah, for sure.
I think Toronto wins this one comfortably, and I think a lot of it has to do with just Denver's schedule. They're crossing three time zones to play in Toronto.
Yeah.
I do think the Raptors in a vacuum are just better than Denver, so Denver would have to play a little bit above themselves. And then, as I mentioned, that dribble penetration, I think I would probably pick up Lowry in fantasy if for the fantasy people out there. I just think this is the type of game where he can really excel and just get to his spots on the court and execute.
This is assuming Lowry plays, of course. He sat out on Saturday with a sore back, quote-unquote, so back. I mean, I kind of think that was more just they're playing Cleveland and they just had that Warriors game and Lowry played 44 minutes, so maybe he has a quote-unquote sore back. But, you know, keep an eye on it for sure, because he has been dinged up a little bit. He's like carried a limp sometimes throughout the season just because he doesn't know how to not take a charge in a 20-point game, but he'll do it anyway. Like he's liable to get hurt at some point, so maybe protecting him from himself is not the worst idea, but I don't think that'll happen. I think he will play. And I'm super pumped for this one, man. This should be a really fun game.
Last question for you. What do you think the league would do if there was a Raptors-Nuggets finals, NBA final? I mean, first of all, I think ratings might struggle a little bit. I don't know if that's the one the league is rooting for, but You know what? You and I will be happy.
Oh, that would be. I would be totally stoked. A, because it's not the Warriors in the finals, and something horrible has gone wrong over there. And B, yeah, like that would just be a fun troll of all like the people. Like Darren Revelle would really hate that finals. I think he'd be so mad. Yeah, considering that Canadian ratings don't count at all for the American sort of TV rating system or whatever it is, I don't really get it. But that's why Canada, the Raptors don't play on Christmas or anything like that because their ratings don't matter because us Canadians are useless to you guys. But the only way that finals gets saved if it's Raptors Warriors, like that's the only way a Raptors final is okay ratings wise, I think. If it's Raptors Nuggets, they're probably not doing so hot. But like, I don't know, maybe this is the chance for the NHL to come. Maybe this is a big long game for the Raptors to help the NHL as well, and maybe their ratings become better during the Raptors Nuggets final. I don't know, it could happen, I suppose.
There you go. Well, it should be a fun matchup. If you want to get more of a preview for this game and just kind of get a general sense of where the Raptors are, you can check out Locked On Raptors, part of this network. And if you Raptors fans listening want to get an idea on some recent trends for Denver, you can check out Locked On Nuggets. Sean, good luck to you and your team, and thanks for coming on the show.
Of course, man.